8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by DA Jason Williams. How you doing, Mr. DA?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. How's your mom?
She's doing really good,
That's
man.
That's my
Thank
buddy. I want to meet her one day.
I would love that.
Let me ask you this. I see things on social media. I hear people call in to radio stations. Are you running a loose ship down there? Are you letting criminals out? Are you soft on crime?
No, sir, Tommy. I'm actually one of the only prosecutors in the country that's in court trying cases myself. My homicide unit is going up from an 85% success rate. They're hovering around 90 right now. I know that's a moving target. We're growing specialized divisions. A gentleman just got 99 years the other day because of the case that my SVU team put together. Look, soft on crime, there's a lot of like words you get bantered about. I think you got to be smart on crime. And
tell me what that means, Jason.
Smart means being strategic. If you don't have enough prosecutors, if you don't have enough police, you want to go after the worst offenders and make sure those cases get dealt with in court as efficiently as possible, and you triage some other things. For example, if someone's suffering in the throes of addiction or a mental health crisis, we don't want to spend all of our time in court on those cases trying to put those people in jail for 20 years because they're addicted to a substance if they can get help somewhere else and they haven't hurt anybody else other than themselves.
Jason, real quick. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, finish.
No, I was going to say, and also making sure we've got the right person and using technology to do that.
There was a story at NOLA.com today. I'm not going to go into the gory details of it, but I'm not talking about that story at all or any person at all, but generally speaking, can pedophiles be really rehabilitated in your experience at all?
You know, I don't know that I've studied it.
But you've tried cases, haven't you? Or you've prosecuted cases.
I can tell you based upon my experience. That I don't believe that is something that happens one time.
Nope.
And, you know, the Lawrence Hecker case is one example, and there are many others. And so I have not seen any studies that suggest that there is some treatment that cures that desire to prey on the vulnerable.
Every psychologist, every psychiatrist, every social worker I've ever spoken to, that is the one thing they agree with, and that is that a pedophile cannot be rehabilitated. Something's not wired up right, and it just is not going to happen. Let's talk about your Hurricane Katrina Memorial event that's coming up.
Yep. So later on today at 5 o'clock at UMC Hospital, we are, number one, celebrating the survival of the city. And the prosperousness of this city. We're looking back at what we went through and really doing a big autopsy to look at where we've come and how we got here. But our real focus is going to be on the public safety, public wellness aspects of that. We didn't have the best plan in the world after Hurricane Katrina about how to build back, and there was a lot of misinformation. After the pandemic, which is like a hurricane of another sort, we had a strategy. The health department, the police department, the DA's office, reopening courts, reigniting the criminal justice system after it had been put in a coma along with the banking system and other systems. We were able to claw our way out of being the murder capital of the country. And this is an inflection point for the chief. And for Dr. Vegno and I to discuss all of that. But we brought in Thomas Apt, who is a leading criminologist and subject matter expert in violence reduction, to help us add new strategies to what we put in place, because we want to set an audacious goal for the city of New Orleans of getting out of the top five most violent cities and then getting out of the top 10. We've never set goals like that before, Tommy. We've never measured whether or not we're achieving something like this. I know it's audacious, but if we do that, that means a whole lot to potential victims, their families. It means a whole lot to the economy of this city, which means it means a whole lot to the economy of the state.
Let me take a break, and we'll pick it up when we come back here. Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney, 850, 10 till 9, traffic, WWL. 855, Tommy Tucker, WWL. You never know who's listening, who's texting. Jason Williams is our guest, New Orleans District Attorney. Jason, somebody texted in and said, ask the DA if he received his budgeted cash from the city. City Hall has stopped payments to the DA and Sheriff's Office out of cash. Anything to that?
Wait, repeat that again?
Ask the DA if he received his budgeted cash from the city. City Hall has stopped payments to the DA and Sheriff's Office out of cash.
No, we haven't had that issue as of yet. There were some issues with the budget moving forward, making sure there's enough money for all city agencies. But we worked with CAO Montaño, and he made sure we had what we needed to keep functioning. And I pray that continues.
I just ask because, you know, people text in. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they know. Hey, let me ask you this real quick. When it comes to the national scene, and I'm a gun guy. I own several guns, so let's not let anybody get me on the wrong side of this. But it seems as though when it comes to shootings, guns have no longer become part of the equation at all. That's been factored out. Am I making that up or not?
I mean, I would say this. I don't think that America is going to change its relationships with guns. And so having a conversation about getting guns out of responsible gun owners' hands doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Right.
I think we got to keep guns out of the hands of children and people who are legally not allowed to have them and focus on that.
Yeah, you're only going to say that. It seems like every time now that we have a mass shooting, the guns never enter into it anymore. And I just wondered why that was.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that you have people on all sides who are trying to figure out how to have an intellectual conversation about stopping people from getting hurt. I would hope that whether you're a gun lover or whether you dislike guns, we could all continue to have conversations about keeping them out of the wrong hands.
Intellectual, pragmatic, and realistic is what you're saying, right?
Exactly right.
All right, tell me
exactly
again about right. the event this evening, Jason, because who is it open to?
It's open to the public. There are two awards, New Orleans Guardian Awards, that will be going to Terrence Blanchard, who was one of the first people to tell a true New Orleans story post-Katrina. And has continued to be an amazing ambassador, and homicide detective James Fife, who has one of the highest clearance rates in New Orleans history and is setting the gold standard. And we're going to talk about how when you look at Katrina alongside COVID, those are two crises that reshaped the city. With Katrina, we were unprepared. With COVID, the police department, the health department, and the DA's office were proactive. And we used science and data along with federal guidelines to adapt that to this geography, and we've had the most success of any other city. And that's because we had a good playbook. And we want to make sure that there is a good playbook that is there for the future, for the next city council, for the next mayor, and for the mayor after that. What are our goals for the next 10 years, 20 years, so that we can be better than we were last year and get better every year after that?
Jason, you know anything about cryptocurrency?
Not a thing, other than what my 19-year-old's been telling me.
Stay tuned. We're going to spend an hour talking about it. Ryan Peters is going to be here, finance professor. No, you got DA stuff to do. You can listen to podcasts. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Ciao, Tommy.
All right, you bet. Ryan Peters, finance professor, Tulane's A.B. Freeman School of Business, teaches a course on financial technology and blockchains. I'm like, Jason, I have no idea. I have no interest in getting involved in any of this at all because it seems like a scam. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. The president signed an executive order allowing, I think, contributions to 401ks in Bitcoin. We'll hash all of that out and take your questions. We got an hour, 504-260-1870. If you don't have any questions about Bitcoin, I envy you, but I'll bet you do. So text them in. I'll pass them along when we come back on WWL.